I am a woman of no distinction, of little importance. I am a woman of no reputation save that which is bad. You whisper as I pass by and cast judgmental glances, though you don't really take the time to look at me or even get to know me, for to be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known, and otherwise what's the point in doing either one of them in the first place? I want to be known. I want someone to look at my face and not just see two eyes, a nose, a mouth, and two ears, but to see all that I am and could be, all my hopes, loves, and fears. But that's too much to hope for, to wish for, or pray for, so I don't, not anymore. Now I keep to myself, and by that I mean the pain that keeps me in my own private jail, the pain that's brought me here at midday to this well. To ask for a drink is no big request, but to ask it of me, a woman unclean, ashamed, used and abused, an outcast, a failure, a disappointment, a sinner. No drink passing from these hands to your lips could ever be refreshing, only condemning, as I'm sure you condemn me now, but you don't. You're a man of no distinction, though of the utmost importance, a man with little reputation, at least so far. You whisper and tell me to my face what all those glances have been about, and you take the time to really look at me, but don't need to get to know me, for to be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. And you know me, you actually know me, all of me and everything about me, every thought inside and hair on top of my head, every hurt stored up, every hope, every dread, my past and my future, all I am and could be. You tell me everything, you tell me about me. And that which is spoken by another would bring hate and condemnation. Coming from you brings love, grace, mercy, hope, and salvation. I've heard of one to come who would save a wretch like me. And here in my presence, you say, I am he. To be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. And I just met you, but I love you. I don't know you, but I want to get to. Let me run back to town. This is way too much for just me. There are others, brothers, sisters, lovers, haters, the good and the bad, sinners and saints, who should hear what you've told me, who should see what you've shown me, who should taste what you gave me, who should feel how you forgave me. For to be known is to be loved, and to be loved is to be known. And they all need this too. We all do need it for our own.
Again, just who I am, because I need. may not have known this, but that was Matt's daughter, Chloe, who just led that song. And so, amen. So we are grateful for our band, so grateful for you all being here for the continuation of our series, Change Encounters, or Chance Encounters that Change Lives. I want you to join me for a word of prayer. Dear God, we encounter you in so many ways. And yet it is our prayer during this season of Lent that we would encounter you in new ways. Not only encounter you in new ways, but God, help us to encounter each other in new ways. So God, we know that we've come here, God, simply just to have an encounter with you. Regardless of what we're going through and in spite of what we're going through, God, help us to feel your presence here today. Help us to feel your presence in our singing. Help us to feel your presence even in this word. Help us to feel your presence by just being here with each other. So God, have your way in this place. But God, most importantly, God, have your way with us. It is in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. 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 You know, there was a restaurant in Atlantic City that pretty much stole most of our time and our money. In fact, there was no such thing as getting in and getting out of this place. In fact, you knew right from the start that going to this restaurant was going to be an all-day event. It was a soul food restaurant. We would often go after Sunday morning service, and literally there was always a wait to get in. Can you say always? There was always a wait to get in. Now, after you had to wait at least 20 or 30 minutes just to get seated, then you had to wait what seemed like a lifetime for the server to come over to your table. And after you had finally placed your order, you would then grow old by the time your food came out. But just when it seemed like the wait was too long and you were starting to contemplate getting up and walking out of the door, the server would make their way over to your table, apologize for the wait, and remind you that everything was freshly made to order. And then they would gently lay in front of us our regular order of honey buttered cornbread, chicken and waffles, fried shrimp with the famous bang bang sauce, a side of sweet yams, collard greens, and black-eyed peas, and sweet tea just to wash everything down with. By the time you were finished your meal, you were already planning your next visit, because the truth was, it was well worth the wait. Amen. And I wonder if that's what Jesus, I wonder if that's what it was like when Jesus was waiting at the well for this woman. Because much can be said about our need and sometimes our frustration on waiting on God, but faith requires it. Because sometimes it seems like God is never in a rush and God is never in a hurry. God takes 40 days to do this. God takes 40 years to do that. And yet when God responds, when God seems to answer, when God seems to act, when God seems to respond, it's always on God's own time, as if God doesn't know your emergency. Much can be said about waiting on God, but I'm reminded in our text that often it is not us waiting on God, but in fact, it is God who's waiting on us. In fact, everything about this encounter was all wrong. The text says that Jesus had to go to Samaria. He had to go through Samaria. And that's a first, because Jews never traveled through Samaria for absolutely nothing. It was beneath them. In fact, they would often go out of their way not to go through Samaria. No self-respecting Jewish person or rabbi, for that matter, would risk being seen with a Samaritan, let alone going through Samaria. And if that wasn't enough, it was uncommon for a man to be sitting alone with a strange woman by themselves. And yet Jesus goes through a forbidden place to meet a forbidden woman, and he is waiting for her. We don't know much about this woman he meets at the well, but we do know she's been down the aisle a few times. We know that for some reason she has come to this well by herself to avoid something. She seems to be an outsider who's always looking in. It could be to escape the gossip, to escape the stares, to escape her own decisions. And you know how people are. You know how cruel they can be. We know that she would rather wait until the hottest part of the day to go get water so that she can avoid the normal crowd. Now, if she was waiting and going in the hot sun, then Jesus was also going and waiting in the hot sun as well. He was waiting for her because she was worth it. She was well worth the wait. She was worth what other people would say about him going through Samaria. She was worth him being labeled unclean. She was worth going out of the way. She was worth people wondering why he was talking to the strange woman by the well. Whatever people would say, think, or do, she was worth every bit of it. Put this into context. Jesus, the Savior of the world, the one that could cure sickness, heal the blind, the one that could feed thousands with mere loaves and fish, didn't think it was beneath him to sit down and wait by the well for her to get there. And God didn't just meet her in her perfection, but she would come with the well with all kinds of issues, things that she had never worked out, but that was okay because on this day, God was going to meet her and wait for her because she was worth it. But isn't that what God does for each one of us? In a world that's always in a hurry, in a world where your maturation is being timed, dissected, and evaluated, God sits by wells and waits for us. While we're trying to figure things out, guess what God does? God is waiting for us. All the while, we're messing up, screwing up, we're falling down, we're getting back up again, we're messing back up again, getting back up again, falling down again, trying to overcome addictions, working through issues, trying to discover who we are. Guess what God is doing? God is waiting for us. And the reason is because to the God that created the universe, we are well worth the wait. It's a humbling reminder that we are worth going out of the way. We are worth crossing cultural boundaries. Faith is not just the patience to wait on God, but the humility to recognize that it is God who's waiting on us. So Jesus goes to have this encounter with this woman, and she's clearly searching for something. Can you say something? She's clearly searching for something. And it was her thirst that drove her to come to this well to quench that need. And apparently this was not the only well that she had learned to draw from, because we already know for certain that she's been down the aisle five times, and she's possibly working on the sixth husband. But that's what happens when you try to answer a spiritual longing with a physical solution. Or in her case, trying to quench an internal thirst with an outward response. Which, looking at this from the outside, we have to ask ourselves, have we too been drawing too much from the wrong wells? Have we been trying to answer eternal longings from the wrong wells? Because like this woman, in some ways, we're all thirsty for something. Can we be real for about 30 seconds? I mean, I don't care how long you've been in church, what title you heard, truth be told, we're all thirsty for something. Okay, no real people in the house today. Okay, we're all thirsty for something. Can you say thirsty? We're all searching for something. There's something inside of us that sends us out into the world seeking for something to be filled. And like this woman, we're all searching for something. We all have some unaddressed, unmet, or unfulfilled need. The problem is that we keep drawing from the wrong wells. We look for meaning. We search for purpose. We search for fulfillment in things that are only temporary. And when it wears off or it doesn't work, we get thirsty again, so we have to keep coming back to the same wells to draw more water. And in some ways, church, we become slaves to wells we draw from. Because in order to quench the thirst that exists, I've got to keep revisiting the wells. I've got to keep revisiting certain experiences that will never have the capacity to fully meet the need. Because external wells will never be enough to quench the longings and the thirst for our souls. And it keeps us slaves to the redundant and repetitive and cyclical behaviors. In fact, a few years ago, Jim Carrey, the actor, his ad-lib and impromptu speech went viral when he was called upon to present at the Golden Globe Awards. When he was called up on stage, he was introduced as Jim Carrey, the 2-time Golden Globe winner. And as he took the stage, he sarcastically, in the way that only Jim Carrey can do, he sarcastically made fun of the fact that who he was somehow attached to what he had won. And before he announced the nominees at the Golden Globe Awards to this elite audience, he sarcastically began acknowledging that I am 2-time Golden Globe winner Jim Carrey. And you know, when I go to sleep at night, I'm not just any guy going to sleep. I'm 2-time Golden Globe winner Jim Carrey going to get some well-needed shut-eye. And when I dream, I don't just dream any old dream. No, sir, I dream about being 3-time Golden Globe winner actor Jim Carrey. Because then I would be enough. It would finally be true, and I could stop this terrible search for what I know won't ultimately fulfill me. As if to suggest to him and to us the futility of trying to draw from the wrong wells. So here's a question: what well have you been drawing from lately? Where have you been trying to find your meaning and your purpose when your soul begins to thirst and your soul needs to be quenched? Where do you go to quench the inner longings that God has placed inside of you? Because let's not be so quick to judge, because like this woman, some of us have gone to so many wells looking for something. We've gone to the wells of social media looking for affirmation. How many friends do I got? How many people have liked my pictures? We've gone to the wells every Monday morning hoping that our jobs can give us a sense of purpose. We keep drawing from the wells of awards, accolades, and applause for validation, but as soon as it runs out, we've got to go back to the same wells. We need more. We've got to have more. So we keep searching for a job that pays better, a bigger this and a bigger that, something that will somehow satisfy us. But there is nothing that can satisfy our souls like having an encounter with Jesus Christ. So Jesus shows up so she can finally get what she doesn't even know she needs. She came looking for one thing, and she found something else. The woman sees this Jewish man and knows that something is off because it's out of order. He's a woman, she's a man, she's a Samaritan, and he's Jewish, asking for water. It sounds kind of off. It sounds like Jesus trying to have a pickup line. Everything is about this encounter is just off. And she almost pushes him away when he tells her that if she knew who she was talking to, she would have asked him for a drink. She's confused because this man with this bad pickup line, he doesn't even have a bucket to draw the water from the well from. And yet, even with his bad pickup line, he gives her an offer that she can't refuse. He says, I have living water to offer you. And with this living water, you will never come back to this well again. It's the kind of water that quenches the thirst on the inside, the kind of water that satisfies her in places that no well or no person can offer. But watch this. At no point in time does Jesus give her advice. You have had people in your life that always want to give you advice on things that they don't know how to do or can't do themselves. Jesus never gives her advice. He never gives her condemnation. He could have, but he doesn't. At no point in time does Jesus give her advice about how to make better decisions, about how to choose better men, how to run her life. He gives her something better than advice. He gives her an alternative. Jesus offers her a life that will no longer be driven by her thirst. One that is no longer limited by her circumstances. She didn't need any more advice. She needed the hope that her life could have a different outcome and she was not going to be a slave with what she was currently going through. He reminds her that there is another way of living. It doesn't have to be like this. She could have something differently if she wanted. For someone that's always had to keep going back to the same wells that never satisfied their deepest longings, this was the best news that she's ever heard. Because he promises her that everyone who drinks of this water will never be thirsty again. And one of the most encouraging aspects of faith is the realization that there's something different. So she says, sir, where can I get this water? It's a question that will forever change her life. Because this woman represents every person, every one of us that has ever wanted something different. Right at this very moment, she knows that what she has been through is not a life sentence, and there is another well that she can draw from that will give her what she never had. This was not the only well in town. But the question hints at a willingness to change. Have you ever wanted something different for yourself? Now, this is not to say that she's never thought about it, but now she knows where to get it. Because sometimes you can want something different, but you just don't know how to get it. Or sometimes we don't know that there's anything different until we see it. Sometimes you don't know what you need until you see it. It's almost like what happens every time you go to stores like CVS or Walgreens. You can go in with a clear agenda and a limited budget. The list is in your head, and you make a promise to yourself that you are only getting the items on the list this time, that this time is going to be different. This time you are only going to get the items that are on your list. But what happens when you go down the aisle? You start seeing things that you didn't even know you needed. So what became a $13 bill now all of a sudden is a $1,300 bill that you just spent at CVS or Walgreens. Because you saw things that you didn't even know you needed. And you would not have known you needed them until you saw them. So sometimes God will show us things to remind us of what we really need. She didn't even know that she needed living water until God offered it to her. She didn't know that there was a different alternative of life until God showed it to her. She didn't know there was possibilities of drawing from a different well until God showed it to her. She didn't know that there was anything different until God showed it to her. But the question, it gives us insight to the reality that she wants to draw from a different well. She's asking, sir, where can I get this water? Because she's open to another well. She's open to the possibilities, that hope, that purpose, that peace, that joy can come from another well. But here's the catch. She has to want it for herself. God made the offer, but she's got to want it. She has to want it for herself. Her family can't want it for her. The men that she's been with can't want it for her. The people and the towns can't want it for her. But whatever changes that she wants to make, whatever changes we want to see in ourselves, regardless of how hard, how challenging, how daunting, how much work it will take, she has to want it for herself. She's ready for this change. She wants this water so that she can never be thirsty again. She wants to live a different life. She sees a different alternative. And then Jesus says, go get your husband. Wait a minute. How we go from living water to go get your husband? Well, she says, well, I don't have one. Jesus says, I know you had five. And the one you're working with now, you're not even married but living with. How do they go from talking about living water to talking about husbands? Jesus wasn't trying to embarrass her or expose her, but he was trying to help her to see that she was drawing from the wrong wells. And this was not what she had in mind when she went to the well. So she's convinced that he is the Messiah. He knows everything about her, the bad and the good and the ugly. And she is so excited. She's so excited that she goes back to the same place. She goes back into the city, into Samaria, and tells them, come see a man that told me everything about myself. Because as we've seen throughout this series, she has such a transformative encounter at the well that she runs back to her community to share about a man that told her everything about herself. And we see this thread throughout, because when people have been changed, they have to go tell somebody about their encounter with God. And here are these Samaritans, the untouchables, the outcasts, and the unclean. And they are ready to believe in Jesus Christ, because this same woman has come back and she's now testifying. But I got to be honest with you. Truth is, what's so special about telling somebody everything about themselves? I mean, for me, this may not be theologically sound, but I think it's really practical. Because for me, that's not prophetic, that's just Jesus being nosy. I mean, I had a woman who lived across the street from me who literally sat by the window all day, and she knew everybody's business. She knew your morning routine. She knew what time you left for work. She knew what time you got home. She knew when you came home at night, when you picked up your mail, where you parked your car, what day you put your trash out on the side of the street. She knew more about people than they cared to share about themselves. She wasn't prophetic. She was just bored and nosy. But what if they came not because of what they heard, but because of what they saw? Because this was not the same woman that came to the well at the hottest part of the day, church. This was not the same woman that was worried about the opinions of other people. This was not the same woman that was hiding from something. The miracle is not just what Jesus knows, but that she goes. She ran to tell them about a change encounter that changed her life. She is no longer worried about what they are going to say about her. She's not looking for them to validate the change that she has made in her life. She is able to hold her head high and return to the very people that she was trying to avoid. But isn't that the definition of healing? Isn't that what happens when we encounter Christ? Isn't that a miracle in and of itself? Isn't that a miracle when we are able to return to painful places, painful memories, and painful periods of life? When we can look at old wounds with new eyes? When we can talk about the past without crying anymore? When we can finally talk about what we've been trying to avoid? When we can revisit the very places we once tried to avoid? And now we can return with confidence, with hope, and with faith. Now she's enough. Now she's strong. She's confident. She's convincing. Not because they say so, but because she believes it in herself. She does not have to draw from their well for strength, for validation, or for belonging anymore. She's found living water that finally quenches her thirst from the inside out. And I will go so far as to say that whatever shame she had, she left at the well. Whatever she was looking for, whatever expectations she didn't meet, whatever embarrassment she had, whatever it was that made her want to escape, all of that she decided to leave at the well. Perhaps that's why we are reminded that she left her bucket at the well. And I don't want to minimize her change, because this woman represents anybody that's ever wanted something different. She's everybody that's ever decided that they wanted to start drinking from another well. And if you've ever wanted something different for yourself, it can seem so daunting. It can seem like you've got so far to go, so much to change, so much to do. Where do you start? What do you do first? Because the truth is, this woman had a long road ahead. She's got some things in her past she's got to deal with. She has somebody waiting at home that's going to be affected by this decision. But the first step she takes is simply by leaving her bucket at the well. That was her first step. It wasn't just what she brought to them, but it was in what she was willing to leave by the well. So I wonder today, what things do you need to leave by the well? Because we all have something that we can leave by the well. Do you need to leave worrying by the well? Do you need to leave some shame, some secrets? Are you afraid of something that is holding you back at the well? I'm not saying it's going to have an open night, but there are some things that God is trying to do in our lives. But the challenge and the hope of faith is that we trust God enough to satisfy the deepest longing of our souls and our spirits. She was faithful enough to leave her buckets by the side of the well. So can you have that same faith today? That whatever you've been drawing from, that one encounter with Jesus Christ, perhaps the first step you need to take today is just having enough faith and trust to leave whatever it is at the well. Because that's an act of faith. Because when I leave my bucket at the well, I am trusting God. And I'm committing today and forever to draw from a different well. It may not be all of the steps, but perhaps that's your first step today, is just to have enough faith and trust and believe in God enough to leave whatever it is and leave your buckets at the well. So God, we pray to you today, because some of us have been holding the same buckets for years. And we've been trying to draw from places that have never filled our souls. We've been trying to struggle with things. We've been trying to find fulfillment and purpose and joy and peace in things that have never worked out for us. But God, today we just pray for the courage and the wisdom and the strength to leave whatever it is right here at this altar, to leave whatever it is right in these pews, right in these seats. Because God, we've had an encounter with you. And we want to leave whatever that is and trust that you'll satisfy the deepest longings of our soul.